Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
If you really are committed to honoring the Lord with your relationship, He will forgive you. Both of you, I think both of those people need to go after some hardcore repentance.
You're listening to Chiseled and Called with Brittany Dawn, a podcast about finding freedom in imperfection and peace in your broken pieces through Jesus. Our prayer is that today's message will bless you, embolden you, and fix your gaze on the King, that it will stir up the calling God has placed within you. Without further ado, here's your host, Brittany Dawn.
Welcome to the Chiseled and Called podcast. I am your host, Brittany Dawn. And if you're new here and you've never heard my husband co-host, he's here today too. That was a really way of introducing you.
Yep.
Since when do you say yo?
Yeah, you're probably right. That was a little bit of a stretch, trying a little too hard.
No, you're a natural babe.
What are we doing today?
Well, we are here. Actually,
It's always an adventure when you say, hey, I need you for a podcast.
Well, I'm trying
to. I never know what I'm getting myself into.
Yeah, you know. Wait, what'd you say?
I said it's always an adventure when you say, hey, I need you for a podcast, and I never know what I'm getting myself into.
Amen. Life's a journey.
Yeah.
Buckle up.
Mm.
We're doing a Q&A today. I posted this on my Instagram, and there were some pretty good questions. Some of them are actually, now that I'm reading them on my phone in front of me, I'm like, maybe we could do one episode over one of these in the future, but we'll kind of briefly talk on all of them. We have 10. We have 10 questions.
10 questions. You leading off or am I?
I'll lead off.
Okay.
Number one, this is kind of an icebreaker. The first and the last will be icebreakers.
Okay.
Number one, does Jordan have a brother or a cousin? Any single Jesus loving friends?
I have a lot of brothers. No biological brothers. I have a sister who's fantastic. And I have all girl cousins.
I think you're missing the underlying question here, babe. Like by a landslide.
Okay. No, I do not.
No single men that you could hook a sister up with?
You know, I've got a couple of buddies. The majority of my friends are, and my coworkers are all married. Mm-hmm. I have one, single, brother. He's a new believer, but I think he's interested in something right now.
Okay.
So
I love how you were just like, you were about to let everyone know your entire family tree.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm literal, babe.
I'm like, whoa. I think they just want to know if
I'm reading the question correctly, do I have a brother or cousin? I have lots of cousins. They're just all girls. I'm literally the only, until my nephews who are in college and high school, until my nephews, I was the only boy.
Yeah. I don't think they listen to our podcast. We're not
cool. My nephews? No.
Yeah. We're not cool enough for them, but we love them dearly.
Yeah. Next question.
You want to ask it?
I got you, babe. Okay. My boyfriend and I love Jesus. We struggle with sex. Is our relationship doomed because of this?
So I'm going to answer this question as if it was someone sitting right in front of me and a sister that really wanted actual advice. Doomed, I think, is irrelevant. I don't think anything is doomed with Jesus because Jesus can redeem anything. However, God cannot bless something in this situation because you are having physical intimacy, you're having sex outside the covenant of marriage. And I am not convinced that God can bless that. I'm speaking from my own experience. Anytime that I ever had sex outside of marriage, it either left me heartbroken, crushed, miserable, insecure, low self-esteem, just, I mean, the list could go on, right? And so if you were listening to this and I were sitting in front of you with a cup of coffee and you're like, Brittany, we love Jesus, but we struggle with having sex. What should we do? I know this isn't going to be what you want to hear, but you guys should break up. Simply put, I don't see it as one of those things where once you've opened that door fully, I mean, are there people that have done that? They've had sex and then they've felt convicted and they've stopped for the rest of their relationship until I do at the altar. Absolutely. But if this is something where it's a wave, it's a cycle, you have sex and then you don't have sex for like a week and then you fall short again and you fall back into sin and then you're not having sex again for another week because you felt convicted at church on Sunday morning or the pastor spoke about sex before marriage and it's just like this cycle of like in and out, in and out, in and out, you just should end things. Like it's not honoring the Lord. It's just not. Right? Like, I don't know. What would you say to that?
Yeah. This is tough. My personal belief in this is that there has to be a conversation that's had that is unadulterated, super real. Mm-hmm. If both of you are committed to weeding out the sexual immorality in your relationship until marriage, you guys have to sit down and there has to be a deal brokered. Mm-hmm. I think the only way to save this relationship, is to sit down and have a real conversation with one another. Do we think that we can do this?
Yeah.
If either of you waver in that, the relationship has to go.
Yeah.
I think that there has to be some real boundaries put in place. Mm-hmm. They have to be abided by. And the deal that you have to make with your partner is that if this is broken, any of these boundaries are compromised, our relationship's over. You got to put some skin in the game. I think you gotta, if you really are committed to honoring the Lord with your relationship, He will forgive you. Both of you, I think both of those people need some to go after some hardcore repentance in that. And they have to really commit to living a different way. But I think boundaries and parameters around that, making a deal with one another before God, that relationship can be redeemed, but you got to put some skin in the game. Hey, if we break any of these boundaries, if this happens again, our relationship's over. If you really, truly want to honor the Lord and you want to live for Him and you want to, do things the right way, you got to make a commitment right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not something to play around with. I mean, marriage is, God gave marriage to man and woman to be a representation of Christ on earth. It is the closest relationship on this earth that you will find to what it looks like, mm-hmm, to love Jesus and pursue Jesus. And I think that alone right there should give someone an understanding of the implications that could come from not honoring that, right? Like, yeah, it's really hard for God to bless that.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this in a judgy way. Like, I was that girl for so long. Like, I was that girl. And I was that girl longer than I wasn't that girl and haven't been that girl, right? And so, like, that is just something that I wish I would have had a bigger sister telling me,
yeah,
hey, that's not the way to do it. Like, God will bless you tenfold and honor you and protect your heart if you honor Him, mm-hmm, even with this, as hard as it is, as much of a struggle as it is. Like, trust me, Jordan and I get it. Like,
it wasn't easy.
We love sex and we had both had sex previous to meeting each, mm-hmm, other.
It took a conscious commitment, not to one another, but to the Lord.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't know fully the context of this scenario, but, you know, my boyfriend and I love Jesus. Mm-hmm. then I'm imagining you're rooted in a church.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go with your boyfriend to that pastor and say, hey, listen, we messed up.
Yeah.
We've been messing up.
Yeah.
We care about one another. We want to make a shift in our relationship and honor God. We need guidance. We need accountability. We need help, or else this relationship will not last. And I think taking that approach and going and seeking wise counsel, seeking accountability, that's the first step of honoring the Lord in that relationship.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Bringing people into your mess.
Yeah.
There's so much beauty in that. And the world won't say that. They'll say, keep it private. That's not their business, but it kind of is.
Mm.
Like, if you're not married, like, let people sit in the mess with you. Okay.
Next question. You're asking it.
Do you guys ever fight? And if so, how do you work it out?
All the time.
Babe?
All the time.
All the time.
No, we are two different people. We process things extremely different. We have pretty consistent disagreements. Do we fight? I don't think we let it to get to the level of a fight.
Mm-hmm.
I think we typically communicate well enough to where it doesn't get to the level of a quote unquote fight.
Mm-hmm.
Do we disagree? All the time.
All the time.
Like almost, I mean,
almost on an every other day basis.
Yeah, that's about what I was going to go with.
Yeah. And we say that not in like we're at each other's throats. Like we're very respectful. Like there have been so many times where we're like, okay, we agree to disagree and that's that. And I love you. You're my spouse. You're my husband.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like.
I think disagreements devolve into fights when people don't communicate.
Yeah.
Like a disagreement over, I mean, it's just as, you know, understanding each other's perspective mm-hmm. and communicating about what, like we're pretty on top of each other's lives, what's going on a day-to-day basis, the stressors, mm-hmm. the things that may have one another down. And so we understand, like, I know if I get home from work and I get a less than desirable reaction to something that I say, it's probably not what I said. It's probably what you're going through. It's probably what you've walked out that day. It's probably stress mm-hmm. from everything that you've got your hand in. So that communication, like, hey, like coming back to you and saying, hey, the way you responded to me wasn't okay. It wasn't ideal for me. I don't think I did anything to deserve that.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Are you okay? Can I help you with something? Why are you stressed? What is, you know, what did you experience today that kind of has you on edge and really communicating? And it makes a relationship stronger because I'm invested in what you have going on. You know, what's going on in my life.
Mm-hmm.
From a work perspective outside of the home. And I think that when you communicate about it, disagreements are going, you can't get rid of disagreements. You're two separate humans that have been brought together through Christ, but you still have two different perspectives. You have two different pasts. You have two different, ways of dealing with conflict
mm-hmm.
and you can't expect to just become one. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
And, so it's a constant work in progress. I think we communicate well. But I think that there's definitely opportunities where we could communicate better.
Yeah. No marriage is perfect and mm-hmm. you can't go into a marriage expecting that everything is going to be sunshine and rainbow. So just like I said on my Instagram stories, when I got this question initially, if someone says that they never fight, one, that's a red flag. And two, they're lying because it's just not real life.
Yeah. I don't think if you do not, and like I said, there's a difference between a disagreement and a fight.
Mm-hmm.
I think that a lot of things can be handled before they get to fights.
Yeah.
Unless there's just truly a purposeful wrong.
Yeah.
Conducted to literally disrespect or, devalue the other person.
Yeah.
Those aren't fights. Those are disagreements.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that those can be communicated through. Now, if one person in the relationship did something to devalue or you know, disrespect the other person on purpose, like, well, then you got to talk about why you're in that relationship to begin with. For sure. And why did they do that?
Well, so. And one thing that I love that, you know, I, without going into details, I didn't necessarily have the greatest examples in my life for the most of my adult life on how to really just how to be in a relationship in general. And I was, you know, verbally abused, emotionally abused by multiple different guys. And it got to the point where I almost felt like I didn't know how to speak up and I didn't know how to have my own voice in a relationship. And one thing that the Lord has really healed through Jordan and being married to him is that in situations where, you know, I don't know how to find the words that I'm trying to say, or I don't know, I disagree and we aren't seeing eye to eye, but I don't know how to get that across to you in a loving, gracious, kind way. One thing that he will always say to me is he will literally look me in the eyes and say, if you ever disagree with me, I want you to speak up. I don't care if it sounds awkward. I don't care if you don't have the right words. Like, I want you to know that you have a voice in this marriage. And if I'm ever out of line or I ever do something or ever say something or I'm ever making a decision for us, like, I want you to speak up. And that alone has really helped me learn to fight in a healthy way, because there are unhealthy fights and there are healthy disagreements. And there have also been times where I haven't been the most respectful and I've had to repent for that. And
well, I love it when you do that. It helps me on a couple of ways. Helps me understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Helps me understand why you make decisions the way you do, what leads to that. And it hasn't always been bad. Sometimes it's hilarious. Like, sometimes I'm like, that's how your brain processed that scenario. Like, are you, what? Like,
yeah, it is.
Okay.
Some pretty cool,
but it helps me. I can, cause as I'm looking at our relationship, I can look ahead when I'm faced with a scenario or a situation or decision. It helps me make, I can take into account your perspective, what I know of you, what I know of how you process things. And I've already run it through that lens.
Yeah.
And so that helps me, make decisions for our family, better, I think. So yeah, it's communicate, guys. I feel like we talk about that all the time.
Well, and it's, yeah,
there's so many problems that can be solved with healthy communication.
Well, and you know, we've gone through different waves of that in different situations, and like, yeah, there, I mean, you could go into a whole, we could do a whole episode over this, which we won't, you know, we'll move on to the next question. But like, even just little things, like, you can't just ignore someone and expect it to go. That is called passive aggressiveness, and that is a form of manipulation. Like, I'm just going to say that for what it is. You can't do that. Like, you might get away with it in other relationships in your life, but I guarantee you they see it, right? And you definitely can't try that in marriage, because that is, at the end of the day, you're going to have to lay down in bed next to them. You know, there's just, yeah. So there's a lot of different avenues we could go down with that. Is it your turn to ask the next question?
It's my turn. Number four.
Okay.
What are your love languages and how do you serve each other in those ways?
You know, I should probably do an updated love language test, because I feel like mine have changed. Because like when we met, for example, mine was words of affirmation. Which I would say it still is.
Yeah, now you just want me to make the bed.
But I also love acts of service.
Babe, can you help with the laundry? Babe, can you feed the dogs? Babe, can you make the bed? Like, and the one, like, all of the above, yes, I can. I have a problem with the making of the bed thing because I don't make it the way you do.
You actually did good this morning.
I'm not as talented at making, and this isn't a man versus woman thing. Like, I just don't have the skill set when it comes to making the bed as well as you do. I don't do it as well.
And that's
well.
Okay, babe. God gave different people different gifts, and yeah. I think it's okay.
I think your love languages have changed. It would be interesting. Stand by on that. Maybe we should take a love languages test.
We should.
Strictly focusing on this relationship.
What do you think mine are? And then I'll answer what you're...
Definitely... I think actually now that we're married, I think that quality time trumps words of affirmation mm-hmm. and acts of service. Mm-hmm. Like you just want me to be here.
Yeah.
I think that it's followed closely by words of affirmation.
Yeah.
Acts of service. I think you just want help.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think you get overwhelmed and you're like, you're trying to check, you know, it goes back to the way women and men are wired. Mm-hmm. You know, when I have a task, I focus on that one task until it's done. You are trying to juggle 37 tasks.
Yep.
And so like half the laundry got put away, half of dinner got made, and like half of the Hazel and Lane orders yep. were packaged and ready to be shipped.
Yep.
Whereas like I would have packaged the orders, put away the laundry completely, and then made dinner.
Which, praise the Lord, we're bringing someone into package orders for us. Can I get an amen?
Yeah, because that thing's growing.
It is growing like a weed. No,
but it goes back to like, those are, it's just, I think as you grow in a relationship, especially in our marriage, I think that ours have changed.
I think yours is definitely, you love words of affirmation.
Yeah.
I think men, especially like, ladies, if you aren't, and I could, there's weeks that I could do a better job. There's weeks that I'm like on my game with this. Mm-hmm. And there's weeks that I'm like, dang, I feel like I just need to write him a letter and let him know how loved he is and how much I appreciate.
If I'm working a little extra.
Yeah.
Like, let's say I've got a, you know, what ends up being a 18 to 20 hour day of work. Mm-hmm. It changes my complete mood, my energy level, my ability to complete my job mm-hmm. or jobs at the time. When I get a text message that says you're thankful for how hard I work to support our family, as opposed to what time are you going to be home?
Yeah.
Cause like I'm ticked that I'm not getting to spend quality time with you.
Yeah.
So, and transversely, I need to be cognizant of how much I'm gone extra mm-hmm. because I know that quality time is important to you.
Yeah.
And so it's about balance.
For sure. Yeah. And so just being mindful, ladies, like if you're not encouraging your man, like, you know, even if he's gone all the time with work, like he's just doing what he's called to do. Like biblically speaking, you know, the Bible tells us if we don't work, we don't eat. And there's also
eatin'.
Another scripture.
Huh? We eatin'.
We eatin'. I actually haven't eaten yet today. I need to go get some food.
Yeah, you do.
But, yeah. So just, you know, edify and encourage your man, uplift him. The Bible says that it's better. I think it's better to live in a desert than to live in a house with a nagging wife, right? Is it with the Bible? Something like that. I don't know. Something like that. So don't be naggy. Just try to encourage. But again, we're not perfect in this either. We're learning. We're learning.
Absolutely.
So, the next question. If you guys haven't heard by now already, in the month of October, I launched a new business called Hazel and Lane. Seeing what God has done so far has absolutely blown our minds. And if you don't know what Hazel and Lane is, let me give you a 20-second Cliff Notes version. In October of 2022, I had a miscarriage that would forever change a lot of things in my life. But what happened next is something I never would have expected. In my most broken moment, the Lord birthed a beautiful new thing. Just days after my miscarriage, I had an open vision of what I am currently living out with this business, a women and children's boutique. One thing led to another, and 1 year later, October of 2023, that vision came to life. Hazel and Lane were the two names that we had picked out for that child, and now every day is a sweet reminder of the children that we have waiting on the other side of heaven. It's been nothing short of amazing, and I am so incredibly grateful for the way that this community has rallied around this dream. If you are looking for a Christ-focused business to support this holiday season, or just want to shop around for yourself, you can visit us at hazelandlane.com. That's HazelandLane.com. And while you're there, you can use the code podcast for free shipping. Every package is prayed over and put together with love.
Thoughts on IUD, BC.
Do you know what that is?
I think I know what the second one is.
Birth control.
What are alternatives to birth control options? And the only reason I knew right away what BC was because it said it in the follow on.
So
Take it away.
Yeah, I'll handle this one, babe. I got you.
Good deal. Because I'm out.
You got nothing. You have no value to this conversation. I was on birth control for 10 years, and I, unbeknownst to me, was having a lot of side effects. It just really messed with me. I honestly didn't realize it though until after I came off of it, and I realized how much better I felt off of birth control. The whites of my eyes was actually the first thing that I noticed. My eyes just got, I don't know how to explain it other than just saying they got brighter, but they did. They immediately got brighter. It felt like I looked like I had more life in me. And that was about a month after coming off of birth control. I was like, whoa, what is this? Because I was on a pill. So I was taking it every single day religiously. And I also noticed that I stopped having a lot of anxiety. I was suddenly as cool as a cucumber, just calm, cool, collected.
Definitely noticed the shift.
You notice, especially because that was only what, like 3 months into us dating.
Even just like your skin,
I lost a lot of puffiness.
Yeah.
You look at the photos,
I feel like your hair probably too. Yeah. I mean, it seemed, I don't know. I can't speak from a medical perspective of it, but those are things that got healthier. Your skin, your hair, the whites of your eyes, like your complexion, like those things all shifted.
Yeah. I lost a lot of I had puffiness. Like you would just look at my face and my face just looked round. I don't know. Like, and it's hard to explain it without like me throwing up like a before and after photo, mm-hmm. but then you look at me now and I'm like, holy cow. Like so much has changed about just my face. And I'm not a girl that's like, I don't go get poked with needles all the time and fillers and jawline. I don't do that stuff. Like, do I get Botox? Yeah. But I don't do any of the other stuff that could change the way my face looks. Like I literally haven't done anything. I've just gotten healthier. And so I'm so grateful that I had the courage to come off of birth control. It was a very scary thing to think about because for 10 years, I didn't have a cycle, which is just wild to even think about. And even in our fertility appointment, they asked me about that and I told him, and he was a little concerned, mm-hmm. but I mean, all is good. All is well. We're healthy.
I just gotta think this is just a super simple analogy. You are impeding your body's mm-hmm. natural
rhythm. Yeah. Yep.
Of course there's going to be something that's not,
yeah,
like you're impeding that.
Well, and like you're impeding it with synthetic hormones. Mm-hmm. Like that's just not good.
Yeah.
By any means. And so, yeah, I personally, again, we're not doctors. I would never ever give advice. But me personally, if someone were sitting in front of me saying, "Hey, Brittany, will you ever get on birth control again after you have kids?" No. And I don't think Jordan would even let me. Like, he's seen the night and day difference. He's literally shaking his head like, no, you're not getting put on that. I just feeling how good and amazing I feel like after the fact, I could never. So yeah. I don't know. There's probably other options out there. Personally, also a conviction of mine is like the Lord is going to let you have as many kids as he has planned for you. And I don't know. I pray I never have a kid like after a certain point in my life, but you're laughing. I don't know. That's a big conversation, but no, I will never get back on birth control. Okay. The next one, this is a good question to ask you.
Mm.
My husband's IG recommended is always full of Insta models. Is that what he's looking at?
Well, I'm going to ask you a clarifying question.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have social media anymore.
Yeah.
But how representative of that is, I don't understand the algorithm.
True. Yeah. Maybe I should answer this. You can chime in. If you don't know, Jordan does not have social media.
I know an algorithm exists.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it does.
So recommended is basically where, like when you go to follow someone, or even like on your For You page, not For You, that's TikTok, even on your Explore feed on Instagram, there's like recommended photos. There's also when you go to follow someone, something will pop up with like five Instagrams that they recommend based on what you follow or what you are looking at. So I guess the hard answer is yes, that possibility is definitely there. I'm just going to be the honest big sister in this. And so let's spin this a little bit. Mm-hmm. So now that we've addressed that, like, yes, he probably is looking at women on social media that he has no business looking at since he's a married man. So the wife is obviously going to listen to this, I'm sure. How could she approach her husband and say, hey, like, this one, she's going to be crushed. Like, that's just so heartbreaking. But
how can she bring it to him?
Yeah. In a, without blowing up and being upset in a conducive way that's going to be constructive to fix the problem.
Well, I think you got to give, before you quote unquote blow up, you've got to give somebody the ability to take corrective action.
Yeah.
And it's got to be presented in a, I mean,
and own it.
Like, it's one of those things. Like, I think a lot of men don't understand how Instagram works. Mm-hmm. And I think that, well, I remember back when I had Instagram, and I don't recall, I think there's a margin of error there as well, where Instagram assumes that you're interested in this.
Yeah.
Because you're a male. And these are the other things. Like, I think Instagram could probably, you know, based off of what I had followed that wasn't related to like fitness models or IG, you know, models or whatever they're called, just by based off of the things that I followed, that they would push that content to me.
Yeah, I think to an extent. So like in your situation, because when we were dating, like he would literally be like, babe, look at this. Like, why is this,
when a lot of that, when we first started dating, mm-hmm. and I followed you.
Yep. Yep.
I got pushed fitness stuff. And I was like,
because
at that time in my life, I wasn't even working out. I was like, what?
Yeah. Well, and it was because like I was technically still like in that fitness category, you know, when we met. Yeah. And so
I think you got to approach him and give him a chance to like, hey, if you are looking at these things, that hurts me.
Yeah.
Give him a chance. You have to let him know that his actions are hurting you and give him a chance to take corrective action before it turns into a big thing.
Yeah. Give him a chance to own it. And if he doesn't,
it's a different conversation.
Yeah. But I would hope that in bringing it to him in a loving way, he would feel safe enough to say, yes, I have been, and repent.
Or, hey, I'm sorry. Like, I didn't realize that it was an issue. Has it been communicated before? Like,
but here's the thing, like, that can also be, and I'm not saying this for this situation at all, but for anyone else that didn't ask the question that maybe they are in the situation, that can also signify that he's not just looking at Instagram models. He could be watching porn.
Could be.
If he's already gone down that rabbit hole, like, that's a very slippery slope, that once you've opened that door and entertained that, that it can let that sneak in mm-hmm. very quickly. And so I think just being aware of what it could lead to. And you don't have to tolerate it. You know, I think there was just for so long, this world told you that it was just, oh, it's what guys do. They just, they lust after women, and they, even in marriage, like, you just got to let them, boys will be boys. No, like, that's so disrespectful. I would never do that to my husband. I would never go and look at male fitness models and disrespect my husband like that. So like, don't why would to. It be okay?
See huh? me what I said, you don't need to. You see me walking into the kitchen and stuff.
Amen. Butt naked.
That was a joke.
All of this glory with beard coming back in.
Yeah.
Short beard.
Yep.
No, but you know what I mean, baby.
I get you, babe.
why is it okay for men but not for women?
Society and culture has
exactly
has said that it's okay,
and it's just so backwards, flipped upside down. So no, it's not okay, and there's a way to gracefully bring that to his attention.
I'm gonna let you ask the next one because I think I can handle this in about 20 seconds.
How do you set boundaries with a close friend who is dishonest and conniving?
There are so many things wrong with this question.
Yeah. Close friend should not be in the same sentence.
Yeah. Close friend with those actions is not a close friend.
No.
That is, you need to reprioritize who your friends are and who, a person who is dishonest and conniving is not a close friend. That is an acquaintance.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if that's,
even that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's simple.
Yeah, if you're associating yourself on a daily basis with people who you know you can't even trust, why?
Yeah.
Like you really have to, if you're so lonely and you don't have friends that you would be willing to put yourself in that situation rather than just be alone. Like go be alone with Jesus. That yeah. I was in that situation for so many years when I was in the wilderness with him. I felt like I lost everything and everyone. And I was just like, what the heck? Like, God, where are my people? And I mean, honestly, I would say it took 2 years, 3 years to really find my people. And yeah, like even when you find them, you're still going to go through hard things. Mm-hmm. You're still going to butt heads. You're still going to get in disagreements, but you trust that they're not the kind of friends that are talking about you behind your back. They're not conniving. They don't have ill intentions. They're not going to gossip. Like, it's just the feeling of like having a healthy friendship versus not having a healthy friendship is incomparable. Mm-hmm. And once you experience what that healthy friendship feels like, looks like, should be like, you don't want to entertain anything but that. So that's all I got to say about that. Mm. Next one.
Advice on a married couple having a dry spell sexually. Mm. What do I do besides pray? Love you guys.
Aww. We love y'all too.
That's you know,
hard.
Yeah.
I think it depends. I mean,
every couple goes through that.
Yeah, for sure. And I think too, like, it depends on the season. Like, did you just have a baby? Mm-hmm. That's a whole conversation. That's a whole different can of worms because you have to heal. Are you parents of three? Are you going through a really stressful work season? There's just, you know, and I think it really comes down to like, prioritizing.
Yeah. And creating environments where that's fostered easily. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like whether, you know, it's one of those things, like if I'm trying to get Brit in the mood and we've been in a dry spell, I may try to do something to alleviate a task on her list of things to do for the day. Mm-hmm. Or to, you know, I know what she enjoys as far as activities and dates. Mm-hmm. And doing something romantic and, you know, getting her out of her rut of a routine can spur that on.
Yeah. There's so many different ways that you can even talk through this. Like if you're in a situation where, you know, your spouse doesn't like have the desire, or you feel like they're not interested, or you feel like they don't love you anymore because girls get in their head and we immediately, you know how women can be. We just go down the rabbit hole.
And no, I just had like
bringing it back up to him and be like, hey, babe, like I really could use this, you know? Or if it's the woman that doesn't have the desire and the man is like chomping at the bit, like, come on, like I need this. This is one of my love language, physical touch. Like, it's so hard. You can't, there's not one answer. Like you have to learn to navigate it together, right? Yeah. That's the best answer I can.
Yeah. And communicate about your needs. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing is when you sit down and don't communicate about your needs when you're trying to make the move.
Yeah.
Communicate about your needs when it's a, you know, situation where like, I'm just thinking it's like, don't communicate about your needs when you're trying to put the moves on your wife. Communicate about your needs when it's a non-threatening, it's not a threatening thing,
but like when it's
when there's no pressure to perform in that moment.
Yeah.
maybe over a cup of coffee, maybe at dinner
or movie night on the
couch. Yeah, movie night on the couch. Like, hey, this is something that I really need. I really desire.
It's been on my heart. I just wanted to like talk to you about it. You know, there's
back to communication.
Exactly. And when you communicate something 10 out of 10 times, if I have a concern, not even related to just sex, but like anything, maybe he said something, maybe he did something. Like if I come to him like, hey, baby, this happened the other day and I was just kind of waiting for the right time to tell you, but like it kind of hurt my feelings, or I really would love if you could do this more. I really enjoyed when you did that. Like he always receives it well. Mm-hmm. Now, if I come out of left field and I'm like, yeah, you remember that time two weeks ago when you did, and he's like, whoa, like what, where is this coming from? And so communication is everything. Yeah. And the Bible is very clear about sex as an act of spiritual warfare. And so when you're going through, you know, attacks and spiritual warfare, or you feel distant from your spouse, go have sex. God gave it to us for a reason. It's a gift. It's a blessing. And the only time we should be refraining is when it's agreed upon by both the husband and the wife, not in a form of punishment. So
yeah.
Moving on.
I think I have demons in me. What are your thoughts? My husband is trying to leave me.
I love this question because you can experience freedom. First of all, demons are real. Angels are real. Heaven is real. Hell is real. You cannot believe in heaven and not believe in hell. You cannot believe in angels and not believe that demons exist as well. Ephesians 6 tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. If you've never read Ephesians 6, go read it for yourself. It talks all about putting on the armor of God. That being said, if you are sitting there feeling like, I think I have a demon,
what would you recommend for that person to do?
Yeah, how do I explain this for like basic terms? Because I'm very passionate, you know, I'm very passionate about this topic. We're called to push back the gates of hell. We're called to push back the gates of darkness. I would say this. One, do you have the Holy Spirit? That's what I would ask first. Are you saved? Have you given your life to Jesus? I'm just trying to think of like, if I were to pray over someone, that would be one of the first questions I'd ask. Or have you given your life to the Lord? You know, that's kind of where you start. If you have, awesome. We'll move forward from there. Do you have the Holy Spirit? Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? If you don't have Holy Spirit inside of you, or you aren't saved, you either get one or the other. You either have Holy Spirit inside of you or you don't. And if you don't have Holy Spirit inside of you, you are an empty house waiting to be filled with something.
Yeah.
And so I would say to the person that asked this question, or maybe if you're listening to this questioning, if you have a demon oppression, possession is a whole different conversation, which is very common in today's world. There are a lot of demon possessed people walking around on the streets, at the grocery store. It's just, what a time to be alive. And I don't say that to scare anyone. We do not walk in fear. We walk in faith because we are walking with the King of Kings. But you need deliverance if this is you. And I would, if you're not plugged into a church, a Holy Spirit filled church that believes in deliverance and believes in getting set free from this, then I would say reach out to someone. I know Upper Room has Inner Healing, Inner Room. They are absolutely incredible. I've been I've been through several sessions with them. Yeah, there was actually a point, which obviously I was not possessed by any means because I have the Holy Spirit, but I was being heavily oppressed. And Jordan recognized it and immediately called and got me an appointment the next day, and I got set free from that. I mean, it was just gone like that. Even as a Holy Spirit filled Christian, you can be oppressed by a demonic presence. And so the best analogy I think of is like when we have clothes on, it's like a demon is like latching onto your sweater that I'm wearing right now. And they're trying to hang on for dear life. And that's what it feels like. It just feels heavy. That would be my best advice is go seek counsel, go seek help.
Yeah. Get into a church.
Yes. I'm so proud of you for even saying that and for even recognizing that. because the sooner we can recognize that something isn't right in us, mm-hmm. the sooner Jesus gets to step in and rescue us from whatever that is.
I don't see how a marriage lasts at all. The first thing that has to be addressed there is the oppression, possession dilemma of, because a marriage isn't going to last.
No.
With that.
Well, because the enemy hates marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Last question. Your biggest pet peeve with each other. I'll start. I'm speaking. I will start. If you've listened to this podcast for any amount of time, you know that, we've had a constant struggle on closing things.
Peanut butter jars.
The peanut butter jar, still a problem.
Pantry door.
Pantry door, still a problem.
Bathroom drawers.
Bathroom drawer, still a consistent problem.
Because I rammed my knee into it a few weeks ago.
If I could be so bold as being a part of this podcast, if I could ask for prayer from the audience, if you guys would just pray for Brittany to break this habit that is obviously not of the Lord.
Amen.
And if you guys could also lift me up and give me patience and grace.
Well, they say that the way God gives us patience is by putting us through the tests.
Yeah.
So he's using me.
Is he?
He's making me.
Is that what you think? What is your biggest pet peeve right of now? What I do?
I think my biggest pet peeve, let me think on this for a minute. I think
You heard it here first, folks. No pet peeve.
Oh, no. No, no, no.
Doing good.
There are pet peeves.
Things are good. Well, thank you for
I'm not done yet. My biggest pet peeve is every single morning. We're just going to be real here. You sleep naked. I sleep naked sometimes. That's what married people do. My husband will leave his shorts right next to the bed on the ground when he has a perfectly good dresser. Not even 10 feet. It's like 5 steps to walk over and put it in the top drawer where all his basketball shorts lie.
But them's is my sleep shorts. And why would I put them away when I'm going to wear them the next night?
Because they belong in the drawer.
They're just as good on my dresser.
Like, amen, amen. They belong in the drawer. But okay. I've never actually said that to you.
I'll start putting up my sleep shorts when you start closing things. Called compromise.
And that is balance in marriage right there.
Wow. I love coming on a podcast and learning something about my wife. Didn't know that was an issue.
It's never really been an issue. It's just like morning when I make the bed, I just pick them
up. It really sounds like an issue.
No.
Anyways, thank you for tuning into this episode of Chiseled and Called. Be sure to follow my wife on the Instas, the TikToks, the Facebooks, and a quick shout out, if you haven't already, hit up Hazel and Lane company.com. I think it's the right thing.
Hazelandlane.com.
Hazelandlane.com.
Babe.
Reach out, follow them on Instagram. She's doing big things in the boutique space. And then if you have a moment and would be so gracious, leave a positive review. We're trying to drown out all the trolls on wherever you get your podcasts, and leave a positive review. It means a lot to us. I say us, it means a lot to her. Not to me. I mean, I don't really read the reviews, but we appreciate you. We'll see you next time.
Yeah. We'll see you guys next time.
If you'd like to learn more about Brittany Dawn, you can find her personal platforms and ministry through the social links below. Thank you for listening in today. And remember, there's no depth that God will not go for you. His grace is sufficient, even here.